There he goes! It's a C-Mac attack!
This is Desmond Johnson on the Believe in Carolina Panthers podcast, here on the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. Do you believe? If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes. We're available in your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. You can also find us at Believe.com and at Believe Podcast on Twitter. And welcome into a brand new spanking episode of the Believe in Carolina Panthers podcast. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, joined by Sports Illustrated's Skylar Callahan. Our Carolina Panthers are 5-9 after a 31-14 thumping from the Buffalo Bills this past Sunday. We'll get into all of everything that went down on Sunday and what to expect going forward here in just a bit. But before we do, a quick word from one of our sponsors at BetOnline. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the rest of the NBA season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. Head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BELIEVE50 to believe your bonus, or excuse me, to receive your bonus from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. The past couple of weeks, I've started off these podcasts by basically asking Skylar, you know, the vibe in the press box walking out after the end of these games. And this one's no different. So we'll just kick it off that way. Skylar, what's the what was the vibe coming out of the press box after watching that Panthers-Bills fiasco on Sunday?
I mean, really at this point, I mean, can you really expect anything different? It's kind of how I look at it. I mean, this has kind of been the way it's been for a few weeks now. And this team's losing guys left and right, whether it be COVID, whether it be injuries. So, I mean, it doesn't really come to me as a shock, but I will say this, and I know a lot of people are probably going to dispute that this statement, but I don't know if I just watched the game from a totally different perspective just because I wasn't grown up I didn't grow up in Carolina. I wasn't a Panthers fan from the start. I've never technically been a Panthers fan. I cover the team. So I watch it from a different lens, I guess. Mm-hmm. And all these fans are frustrated, annoyed. I get it. The way I look at it is they didn't have Zane Gonzalez, which that whole fiasco was, that was interesting.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Cause let's just start there because the thing that bothered me actually the most out of everything, because you're right, we've kind of got to a point where it's like, I kind of expected this. They're going to be close through most of the game, and then the other team's going to probably pull away because we're just lacking things. But, man, every week you've kind of talked me off of the ledge with head coach Matt Rhule, and there's been great reasons to walk me off the ledge. This week, that very thing right there, Zane Gonzalez getting hurt in pregame warmups, and there's no emergency kicker designated on the team. That is a coaching thing. Like, you're supposed to be prepared for something like this. And what made it worse for me is that they held kicker tryouts on the field an hour before the game in front of the Bills. In front of the Bills. So the Bills are just sitting there laughing at us before the kickoff. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what is happening here? There's no one here on the roster. They've never on a Tuesday, like at lunch, been like, hey, can you kick a football? Can you kick a football? What happens if Gonzalez gets hurt? Why don't we see if Zylstra or somebody could kick a football? No, let's do it at 12:30 in the afternoon at Orchard Park while all these Bills fans are watching this. It really rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I went into that game like, they're going to find a way to screw this up just from – they did it before the kick. Like, I can't – that part has bothered me more than anything else that I saw on Sunday, and I just wanted to get that out because it felt good to get it out.
So this is kind of my synopsis on the situation. So although it is embarrassing and it does kind of look bad to not have emergency plan necessarily, to be quite honest, I mean, this team has so many issues right now. I don't know that their first thought is randomly like, let's figure out who else can kick. You know what I mean? Because
that's true. But I mean, this is something they should have known in preseason, though, right? Like every team has some. Like I remember, Wes Welker was an emergency kicker for the Patriots. Chad Ochocinco Johnson kicked for the Bengals. Like these are position players that they knew coming into the game. Okay, if something happens, I'm going to be the kicker because we don't have one. It felt like this never crossed the mind of the coaching staff that Gonzalez could get hurt.
Well, I think they knew too. They knew in the back of their mind. PJ did actually kick back in high school. Someone said he kicked in college. I've dug and dug, and I've never found anything that he ever attempted a field goal in college. But I know he did kick in high school, so they did have that in the back of their mind. He was one of the few out there trying field goals before the game. I think they kind of knew ahead of time Brandon Zylstra would be an option, but again, this is what gets taken out of complete context, because from my understanding, they knew the potential players that could kick. They just wanted to go out there and see who was going to give them the best opportunity. I don't think they just had no idea at all. Now, I know that there's this thing going around saying that they were pulling players. I mean, I think it was more so of, hey, do you feel comfortable to kick if we need you? So that's the way I took it. But then again, I mean, at the end of the day, that's not my biggest gripe, because I think there's other things that everyone should be more concerned about than the kicking situation, because at the end of the day, you can make an argument legitimately that the Panthers have the best kicker in the entire NFC.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I would say that. Yeah.
And if he's available, you got to think the Panthers got deep inside Bills territory twice. That game was way closer than the score indicated, because had he been available, they would have kicked those two field goals. I assume he would have made both of those two field goals, and it would have been a 24-20 game in the fourth quarter against the Buffalo Bills on the road. To me, I understand it looked bad. I understand the 4th-and-1 call was bad. I get that. But to think that it really could have been and should have been 24-20, a one-score game in the fourth quarter, I mean, that tells me a lot right there. Like, I just think the kicking situation, everyone's just finding things to nitpick about. Like, any other team in the NFL, if they have their starting kicker, their kicker, you can't start as a kicker. You only got one of them. If you have a kicker go down an hour before the game, I feel like you're going to see any other team kind of scramble in the last second and have that same situation. I don't think it was an unprepared thing, because it really didn't, outside of changing, you know, their game plan as to whether they're going to punt or go for it in certain situations. It's not like it's something that anybody's really going to prepare for. But now what I will say is, I'm sure we'll go ahead and get into this, so I'll just go ahead and segue into it. The 4th-and-1 call.
Okay. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here's the issue. I did not agree with the call.
I didn't either.
I did agree, however, with the timeout, because I think that in that situation, you know, you're going to have to extend drives. You're going to have to – you can't be punting when you do move the ball, especially when you don't have a field goal kicker. So I agreed with the timeout to get you in the right play. The fact that was the play out of the timeout was less than ideal. But what I will say is – I understand that there was the zone read aspect to it, and it just kind of got muddled up and whatnot. In my opinion, Jeff Nixon should have just called a quarterback sneak, and if they don't get it, they don't get it. But to throw the ball, or to even have the option to give Cam the option to throw the ball, just didn't make sense in my opinion. I mean, he made the right read to throw the ball, but it should have never been an option.
See, I take a different approach to the whole play, because to me, I felt like Matt Rhule was trying to cover for Jeff Nixon. Like, to me, it felt like they told Cam to throw it, because if you look at the play, Robbie's expecting the football. Like, Robbie's not trying to block. Robbie's expecting that ball to be there within 2 seconds, which tells me he was told, I'm throwing the ball to you, as opposed to Cam deciding at the snap whether he's going to – like, look back at the play and kind of see how bang-bang it is. Cam is not the type of quarterback to be like, I got 1 yard to go. I'm the greatest short yardage rushing quarterback in the history of the league. I'm going to toss this ball 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage to Robbie, where there's two guys already on him, and hope he can get a yard, when I can just lean forward with the football and get the first down, which you, I mean, think about Cam Newton, man. You know what I mean? Like, in his mind, which one would he rather do? Would he rather go across that fourth and one and get it himself? Or would he trust his arm and throw it backwards to Robbie Anderson to let him try to do something? It just didn't make any sense the way Matt Rhule was explaining. And I didn't like the fact that he kind of put Cam under the bus too, in favor of Nixon, basically saying Nixon made the right call. Cam just made the wrong play or the wrong throw or whatever. No, you guys told him to do this and it just didn't work. And he basically, it feels like Cam is becoming the scapegoat of the season. And it feels like there's always a scapegoat. There's always someone else besides Matt Rhule that's responsible for what's happening. And it's become a theme where he's just constantly blaming players. He was doing it to Teddy. He's doing it to Cam now. He blamed the defense in situations in some games where we look at each other like, why are you blaming the defense for losing this football game? They've been out there the whole day. He didn't really do it as much with Sam, which was kind of jarring because Sam was out there messing up and he was kind of protecting him. But he's doing it with Cam. And he's done it the past couple of weeks. And that fourth and one, to me, I completely agree. They should have just did. They did it later in the game, if I'm not mistaken. It was a similar situation and Cam just ran it for, you know, the first down. It was the simplest approach. It's like they're overthinking what they have, or they never really wanted Cam Newton. That was really kind of where I was going to be leading this here, because I'm starting to feel like this was not Matt Rhule's idea to bring Cam Newton back to Carolina, because I do believe it was his idea to ship Cam Newton out of Carolina. So why would he bring Cam Newton back in? And they're clearly not using him the way you would typically think to use Cam Newton. Cam went 18 for 38 for 156 yards on Sunday. And this is after Matt Rhule just fired Joe Brady for not running the ball enough. I don't understand, like, why are they still not running the ball? They had 29 carries, but 15 of those were Cam, and half of those were Cam running for his life. Like, he had no place to go and would just take off running. They weren't even called running plays. Hubbard and Abdullah had 12 carries between them. Like, I don't understand how that happens when the coach is adamantly saying every week we need to run the football. Like, what are you thinking about that? Because that feels like they're going directly against what they should do. It was 17-8 at the half.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to really kind of – I Tuesdays is the day I go back and watch the All-22, so I'll have a better idea later. But I think they knew coming into this game that they're going to have to probably throw the ball – well, not coming into it, but an hour before kickoff when they found out Zane wasn't going to be available – that they're probably going to have to throw the ball a little bit more just to get them in more manageable third and fourth down situations. Because, I mean, let's be honest, Buffalo's got a really, really good defense. Like, really, really good.
Yeah, they've been with us up at the – and I know I've seen people say, you can't use that whole total defense stat thing. It's really misleading. And to be honest, it kind of is, because this Carolina defense is not the number one or the number two defense in the league. I mean, just watching them play, you can kind of tell. Now, they were – I could say safely back in October when they were playing, I'm like, yeah, they kind of feel like the number two overall defense, but there's holes, there's leaks in the defense from them having to play so much this season. They're still statistically, I think, number two overall, but Buffalo's been right there like all year. And I think they've been near the top in rushing defense as well, kind of like Tampa Bay. So I can kind of see them not wanting to run. But again, if you're going to say you're a running football team, running football teams don't pick and choose when they're going to run the football. They run on you and make you stop it. And we just didn't. We didn't even really try. They basically tried to make Cam Newton win it with his arm. And I'm sorry, I love Cam Newton. I'm one of his biggest fans, but I think those days are gone. I don't think Cam Newton can win a football game with just his arm anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I really kind of took away from this week, and I get everyone's just upset with Matt Rhule, and they've been, and I've told you this a couple of weeks ago, that I thought there's been a large portion of the fan base that has disliked Matt Rhule since the day they hired him and never gave him an opportunity to prove himself at all.
That's true.
Why you're seeing so many people just hop on the fire Matt Rhule train as it is. I'm not saying that there's not reasons why people should say that. I understand he's 10-20 as a head coach, but I think the worst thing that Matt Rhule did in his entire almost 2 years now as the head coach, and looking back on hindsight 2020, I think the worst thing he has done is to bring Cam Newton back. And I say that because you're dividing the fan base. or not, I wouldn't say dividing the fan base. You're almost turning them against you, because the moment you bring him back and he doesn't win you games, everyone's going to side with Cam Newton.
It's happening right now. Yeah, I see it all over the place. I got into an argument with some lady yesterday. I don't know if you were watching it or not. I got into an argument with some lady on Facebook that had commented on your Sports Illustrated article about all of this. And it was funny, too, because it was like I was on the side of having to not defend Matt Rhule, but to basically be like Cam Newton isn't Cam Newton anymore, which was different for me because I'm usually the one defending Cam Newton to people. And after that game, I was like, I can't even defend this. Like, I mean, I know he's been thrown into an impossible situation for anybody. Like, I think Dan Orlovsky said this on First Take right when they were bringing Cam back, like that day when he was in the building and they signed him. He was the only one that was like, this isn't going to work. You can't just parachute in a quarterback 10 weeks into a season and expect them to win football games in the NFL. These are pros. Like, Cam is not going to be able to do that. Like, it's just not going to work out. And we're all like, eh, whatever, man. Cam Newton's home. We're happy. Whatever happens, happen. Well, I know at least I was. I was like, I wasn't expecting 2015 Cam, but I wasn't expecting a bum either. And I can't say Cam has been a bum so much. It feels more like they're putting him in positions where he's not going to excel. And I don't know if that's on purpose. I don't know if that's just what they want to do, but they're throwing out conflicting signals. Like, you know, like if Rhule is saying for a full month he wants to run the football more, they go get Cam Newton, the greatest rushing quarterback basically in the history of the league. They just slowly started using him in RPO after they fire the OC that won't run the ball. And then in this game, they refused to run it too. They got 151 yards on the ground, but 71 yards of that was Cam Newton running for his life, basically. And it's almost like they refused to use Cam to his strengths. Like, why would you not just do RPO all day like the Ravens do? Like, why would you not make the game simpler for him? Because he doesn't have enough time to learn all of these plays and to build chemistry. I've seen he's been out with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, and I noticed he's been throwing to them more. Cam is just kind of like that with his receivers, and they love playing for him. But you can't expect Cam Newton to drop back 38 times in a football game against the number two ranked or number one ranked overall defense in the league on the road in December and expect the victory. Like, that was the case when we first drafted Cam. You know, like, we've known that from the very beginning. And that's what I was kind of arguing with that lady on Facebook about. She's like, oh, you're just a Cam hater. And I was laughing. So I'm like, wow, I've never had anybody call me a Cam Newton hater before. This is different. Like, I've never experienced this. Like, I don't even know how we got here. Like, this lady really doesn't know who I am.
Yeah. And, like, I just think it was a bad move because at the time, I mean, yes, the Panthers were still in the hunt for the playoffs, but let's be realistic. Like, anytime you lose your starting quarterback, whether he's good or bad, and you bring someone off the streets in the middle of the season, do you really think, like, even if you get to the playoffs, is that guy really going to take you to the Super Bowl? I mean, probably not. So, like, at that point, why not just ride with PJ Walker and you bring in Matt Barkley as your backup? Because now you just – and I hate to say this, but they wasted $10 million. Yep. They wasted $10 million on Cam Newton. They're wasting $18 million on Sam Darnold. They had to pay Teddy Bridgewater to play for Denver. Like, I really think Matt Rhule's biggest issue right now is that he wants to win now. And I get he understands this is a rebuild. And people can have that argument back and forth all day. Oh, they're making moves, da-da-da-da-da, that makes it not a rebuild. It's still a rebuild. Oh, you can't rebuild. You can't put lipstick on a pig and all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a rebuild since the beginning. I mean, they stripped the entire defense down to the core. Basically, Shaq Thompson's the only remaining guy from that defense from a year or so ago. And they kind of left the offense the way it was because they felt skill position-wise they were pretty set. But they neglected the offensive line. I'm still not sure what the hell they were thinking with the offensive line, thinking guys like Pat Elflin and Cam Irvin could.
Good thing you brought that up. So I'll go ahead and put this in here since you mentioned it. So Everyone is kind of upset about Cam Irving and Pat Elflin, rightfully so, especially more so that they signed them on the first day of free agency. What I would like to say, if you go back and look at the available offensive tackles in free agency last year, these are your top guys: 32-year-old Alejandro Villanueva, Cam Irving, 30-year-old Eric Fisher, 32-year-old Riley Reif, 28-year-old Kendall Lamb, 30-year-old Morgan Moses, and Mike Remmers. Charles Leno, which I do agree, had they waited in free agency, they maybe would have got Charles Leno, but no one expected the Bears to release Charles Leno.
Remmers used to be here. Remmers was here on the 2015 Super Bowl team, right. on the line. Yeah, that's why why we let him go.
I don't know that any of those tackles would have tickled anyone's fancy. And let's be honest, no one really expected Tevin Jenkins to be as good as he's been as a rookie. I mean, no one expected that. If the Panthers said, we believe J.C. Horn has a better chance of being a number one lockdown corner in this league more than Tevin Jenkins does having a chance of being a franchise, you know, offensive tackle, then why not take the guy that you have more of a certainty on? And I agree with that. At the time, I still thought Patrick Surtain was the better cornerback. But, I mean, through a couple of games, you could see J.C. Horn has that it factor. But going to the offensive line moves with Irving and Elflein, those are rebuilding type moves. And the reason I say that is because I've been around Pittsburgh Pirates baseball long enough to know that when you rebuild, as they've seemingly done my entire existence on this earth, you don't necessarily go out and make moves when you're not ready to compete. So when they bring in a guy like Cam Irving or they bring in a guy like Pat Elflein, that's what you call patchwork. These are guys that aren't expected to solve those situations. They know they're still in a rebuild. And if you're still 2 to 3 years away from being competitive enough to get to the playoffs and win games in the playoffs, you don't need to go sign guys for a lot of money, or you don't need to go get top-tier free agents. Get some guys that, quite honestly, are going to help you struggle because you're going to help get that higher draft pick. I know that's not really – the thinking that teams should have, but that's just what teams have historically done in NFL, NBA, you know, MLB, whatever. These guys are patchwork moves. They're not going to be here long term. That's what they did. This is exactly why things are playing out the way they are. But to go back really quick on Cam Newton, he's 32 years old. He's not on the books next year. I think the worst thing Matt Rhule has done so far was to bring Cam Newton back. He is not the same quarterback. Let's be honest, and I hate to really go this far. If you look in his career, Carolina, he had one terrific season.
The year they went to the MVP year.
Outside of that, you could make an argument. Was he a top quarterback in the league? Yeah. But was he ever an elite quarterback outside of 2015? I don't know. I mean, in terms of rushing the ball, yeah, he was one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it.
That's maybe 2017. If you look at his 2017 year, and that was when he was with North Turner, and he finally got some help in terms of the high balls and things like that that he was doing. But then he got hurt towards the end of the year, or nicked up, I should say. And maybe 2017, but I agree. 2015 was the peak of Cam Newton. And again, that goes back to what I was saying. You can't treat Cam Newton like a pocket passer. He's never been one, like, ever. So it's the only person I can ever think of that was able to basically completely shift the trajectory of their career from a running quarterback to a pocket passer is Randall Cunningham. That's the only guy I can think of where he was kind of known for his legs, you know, and then he actually took a couple years off, you know, and wasn't signing anybody. The Vikings bring him in. You've got maybe the greatest wide receiver of all time in Randy Moss and one of the greatest touchdown catchers in Chris Carter on the other side. You got Robert Smith behind you. Got a great offensive line, great defense. I mean, he stepped right into a situation where they could win right now. Like if Cam had stepped into a situation here where McCaffrey was healthy, they had an O-line in front of him, and the defense we currently have, this Panther team is probably 9-5 or, you know, 10-4 or whatever, because he would be able to flourish in that situation. But you parachuted him into a situation where the offense didn't have McCaffrey as you parachute him in. The offensive line's a hot mess, and we knew that by the time he got here. And there's no sense of identity on the offense as he's walking in, which brings me back to my original point. You know, you were saying that Matt Rhule should have never brought Cam Newton here. I don't think Matt Rhule brought Cam Newton here. I'm starting to fully believe this was all David Tepper's idea. If you think back to the day that he signed, the picture going around on social media, what was it? It wasn't Cam Newton and Matt Rhule sitting at a table smiling at each other. It was a picture of Cam Newton and David Tepper in Tepper's driveway. You know, like, we never caught the sense that Matt Rhule was 100% on board with bringing Cam on, and he's been kind of doing things to stunt the growth of Cam Newton as he's been here. If you're going to let Cam be here the whole rest of this year and you're going to cut him at the end of the year, whatever happens, cool. But if you're doing that and you're going to pay him $10 million, then Sam Darnold's name shouldn't even be brought up again. Like, he shouldn't even be an option to play. If the plan was to do this with Cam, you can't shift the plan 3 weeks into it, because it's not fair to Cam Newton. He's sitting there trying to learn the playbook, and now you're going to bench him for the guy you brought him in four. I mean, they've done this for the past 2 years. Like, I don't understand the logic of the quarterback position with the Panthers. And until they get that right, they're not going to win football games. I fully don't expect them to win another game this year because of the mess in the quarterback room. I'm expecting to see Sam Darnold in a Panther uniform before this is over. This Sunday might be the last game we see Cam Newton play in a Panther uniform. Like, I'm starting to really feel like that might be a distinct possibility, that Cam will play this Sunday.
Maybe the last time he ever plays in the NFL.
It might be, you know, and before we weren't prepared for it. We didn't know, like, because he got hurt and was missing a whole year. Then COVID happened, and then he got cut. And it's like, you know, we didn't really know at the time what we were watching, but the fan base, my gauge from them right now, and me being a Carolina Panther fan myself, we're kind of going into this thinking, okay, the writing's on the wall. Cam Newton, he's not in Matt Rhule's future plans for this team. It almost feels like it's going to come down to either Cam Newton's going to be here next year or Matt Rhule's going to be here next year, but not both of them.
Yeah, and I really don't think – I just don't see it happening. And I think you're kind of spot on with that. I do think Matt Rhule maybe had an interest in bringing Cam back, but I do think Tepper kind of was the straw that stirred the drink.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to offer a quarterback sitting on a couch.
It is.
You know,
it's almost like David Tepper wanted to right his wrongs and just let the situation be what it is. If that's the case, then everyone should be blaming David Tepper for this, not Matt Rhule. If Matt Rhule did not want Cam Newton back, you're throwing a whole wrench in the middle of the season that should have never happened.
I'm starting to catch a little of that, though, from the fan base, too, where there is some blame starting to go towards Tepper. The problem is, we don't know if it was 100% Tepper that came back or Rhule, so we can't blame Tepper until we know, and we'll probably never find out. Like, I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the past 2 years or so, Tepper kind of makes like a surprise appearance towards the end of the year and talks to the press. Do you remember? Is that right? Because I feel like he'll just pop up and start talking about something, and he just kind of opens it up for them to ask questions to him. Am I wrong? Or
I know he did 2 years ago. I can't remember if he did last year or not.
Well, COVID was going on and all that stuff. But I mean, he's had the team since what, 2018, I think, now?
Yeah.
So, like, going on 4 years. I want to say the past couple of years, because I know one of those years was the year he came out and explained the Rock Hill complex that they were going to build, and he bought land and they're going to make this state-of-the-art thing. And he's kind of buying land all around where BOA is right now. It sounds like he's going to turn it into like an entertainment district where they'll have the Major League Soccer stadium there and maybe a new stadium for the Panthers down the road and that kind of thing, which is awesome for Charlotte. I don't have a problem with David Tepper as an owner. Like, I feel like he's not like old school Jerry Jones, where he's just kind of meddling in everything like a Scooby-Doo villain. He's kind of like off to the side. If it's a big decision, he steps in. But for the most part, it feels like he lets his football people handle the football stuff, which is what you're supposed to do. But when it comes to huge things like this, you got to think back to the situation at hand. They just found out Sam Darnold's shoulder blade is cracked. You already know from watching every day, PJ Walker is not going to get you wins or ticket sales for that matter. Cam Newton sitting at home, you know he'll come back if you ask him. The break was somewhat amicable. Why don't we just see what we can do with Cam? And it's almost like Tepper, to me, I could picture it in my head, him just calling Rhule on that Tuesday when they get the x-ray results from Darnold. And Rhule's like, well, we got to find a quarterback real quick. Tepper's like, go get Cam. He already knows the franchise. The franchise knows him. The fans will love it. It'll be a feel-good story. You can run him. You've been saying you want to run the football. Who's better to do that than Cam Newton? why would you not want Cam Newton? And in Rule's head, he's thinking, well, because I cut him. That's why I don't want him. Like, I wanted a fresh start. Because I do remember people telling me it was Rule that wanted to cut Cam. Like, that was his decision, and he had to take it to Tepper, and Tepper signed off on it. So it wasn't like it was like a spur-of-the-moment thing. He wanted to move on. Like, when they found out they could get Teddy Bridgewater, that was when they decided to let Cam go, and that was the business decision. And my understanding was that it was Rule that made that decision. So I can't get back to a place where Matt Rule all of a sudden, after a year and two quarterbacks, decides that he made a mistake and needs to bring Cam Newton back, because he's not using him the way a coach would use Cam Newton if he truly wanted him back.
Yeah, I think like I said, bringing Cam Newton back was not only a mistake, but in terms of on the field, but like the off the field stuff, like I can't even mention Matt Rule without people talking and complaining about firing him, or like, it's absurd. Like, and I get some people may take, like, as you said, where he's throwing Cam under the bus, but I don't necessarily view it like that, because I mean, I've been in these press conferences for 2 years now, and this is just Matt Rule. He's going to brutally, honestly tell you the truth, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And it's not just been Cam. I mean, he's done it with PJ. He's done it with Sam. And I know that there's people saying, well, yeah, he kind of coddled Sam after the Giants game. But, I mean, he's had several other instances where he has just been straight up brutally honest about how bad Sam Darnold has been. And he's done it with not just quarterbacks. He's done it with every other player. Mm-hmm. The way I look at it is, I mean, most coaches do that. Like, you go around and you listen to all these other press conferences. Matt Rule's not the only one. They're not throwing the players under the bus. They're simply asking the question. And personally, I think, I'm not going to name names, but there's some people within the media that phrase their questions in a way that it gets to their to go in alignment with their agenda. So when the question is asked, no one hears the question. Everyone clips the Matt Rule answer.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
Puts it as, oh, Matt Rule throws Cam Newton under the bus. Well, you didn't hear the question. The question was, what happened on the 4th-and-1 call? Was it a zone read? Did Cam have the option to throw it? And he said, yes, he had the option to throw it. He shouldn't have thrown it. He should have just ran it. But that's what makes it seem like he's throwing Cam under the bus. I don't see it as that. It's him answering the question, because they asked what happened on the play. But again, this is stuff that it happens everywhere. People are gonna tell, or coaches are gonna tell the truth about what's, you know, supposed to happen on certain plays. Some coaches don't. I personally would rather know, because I want to have a better understanding. Like Monday, Matt Rule was asked about it again on the 4th-and-1 call, and he gave a tremendous breakdown of it after he went back and watched the film, and he corrected himself and said, "No, I'm wrong."
Oh, good.
He made the right read, and it just, there was nothing there. We shouldn't have called it, da 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 da. So he took ownership for it when he went back.
That makes me feel a little bit better about the call, because to me, because that's what I was saying. Like, it was almost like they told Cam, this is going to be there. Because, like, Cam.
And honestly, if you go back and watch it, and I know he had outside leverage, but if Brandon Zilcher just chips the guy,
yeah,
it's there.
Yeah. He just missed. I mean, but even so, like, that's what I was saying earlier in the podcast, where on Sunday it made it sound like Cam wasn't supposed to throw it there. But when you watch the play, it's like, it sounds like Cam was directed to throw it there, or it looks like it anyway, because it's such a boom, boom thing. Cam went into that snap thinking, I'm throwing this football, like, regardless of what's over there, because it happened in less than 2 seconds. It's snap, fake the handoff, throw it. Like, it literally, there's no time to even think about doing anything else. So he had to have thought that before the play even started, or been told that, to throw that, because someone's telling him it's going to be there. And to your point, it would have been there if Zilcher, you know, chips that one guy. It would have been Robbie one-on-one with a DB right there. But again, it's not the right play to call. It's 4th-and-1. Cam Newton under center. You literally can just line him up under center and push forward. And I'd be much more satisfied with that and not getting the first down that way than this. Like, this was like, you're trying to trick one of the top defenses in the league here, and it's not going to work. It's just not going to work, especially Cam is not the most accurate thrower. Like, that was the most embarrassing part about the whole thing. Cam, it almost looked like Cam thought that Robbie was going to be a step or two behind where he actually was.
It's like Cam was going to a spot too. And then I was almost wondering, did he do that to make sure it wasn't a pick?
That could be also. And that was something else that I thought of, because the look on Cam's face, well, the look on Cam's face after he throws it looks more like you weren't where you were supposed to be.
Right, right.
You know, like it, and they're going to blame me for this because if you just look at it on the surface, the throw looks like he just misses. You know, yeah, you're like, oh my gosh, Cam's arm, blah, blah, blah. He's totally lost it. And I'm like, nah, I've seen him throw these seam routes to these running backs like 20 yards, 25 yards out with some zip on it. Yes, he underthrew DJ Moore on that one second half play that wide open. And like, you know, Cam from 4 years ago, he's out throwing Ted Ginn, you know, like he could have just, if he could have got a little bit more underneath it, that's a touchdown. And he just underthrew it, you know, like, you know.
I know it was the game was well decided at this point, but how bad was the interception at the end of the game?
That was probably the worst interception Cam's thrown since he's been out.
Like, it honestly looked like Cam said, "The hell with this.
I'm going to get me off this field." You don't want to bring PJ Walker in today for some random reason? Fine. Let me stand out here and take all these bullets, because Cam was getting beat up. Like, the Bills defense is no joke, and he was getting blasted on some of these plays where I was surprised he didn't turn the ball over on Sunday, because a couple of those hits that he was taking in the backfield, I'm like, geez, he still held on to the ball after that. He fumbled and it went into DJ Moore's hands miraculously on the first down run. Even that, and I think I sent you the video of that clip, of Cam running for the first down. What the hell is Cam Irvin doing on this play? He literally stands up and just stands there. There's no one in front of him. He doesn't look for anyone to block. The guy he's supposed to block just runs in kind of surprised, like, oh, hey, Cam, what's going on, man? And like Cam, he jukes him and realizes there's a free man still running around in the backfield. And he just takes off running. And Cam shows a little speed on the run or whatnot and gets the first down. But as he's falling down, the ball comes out, of course. And just by the grace of God, it goes into DJ Moore's hands and we get the first down. But my buddy sent that video to me late Sunday night. I have a friend who has been adamant that Scott Fitterer is the worst GM ever and that he does not know how to build offensive lines. And he's been sticking with me all year. Like, remember when I told you he can't build an offensive line, blah, 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 blah. He was like, he did the same thing in Seattle. He basically focused on extra draft picks and skill positions, and then they didn't use him right, and they never got offensive line. And now I'm sitting there back thinking, damn, he might be right, because that's kind of what's happening right now. But he messaged me and sent me that video, and he was like, see, I told you back in August that, you know, Cam Irvin was not going to work out or whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize on that play that Cam Irvin just, I don't know what he's doing. He just stands up and just stands there. Like, he's waiting for a blocker to run into him, and there's no one there. There's no one within 10 yards of him.
It kind of looked like he was scrambling for the first
time. Yeah. Then he takes off running with Cam to block, and he pancakes some dude down the field that has really nothing to do with any of it. And I'm just like, if that wasn't the personification of the Panthers offensive line for 2021, I don't know what is. Because that, literally watching that, I was like, okay, I don't know if it matters who you put back here behind this line this year for the last four games. It's going to kind of be the same thing. We've kind of seen it with Teddy last year. We saw it with Sam this year. And now we're seeing it with Cam, where they're going to make some mistakes, yes, but they can't get comfortable because the offensive line is providing zero ability to protect them when they need it the most. And it's kind of luring them into mistakes. And then they're starting to make mistakes, the quarterbacks, and not be pressured, because now they're thinking about it. They're hearing footsteps and stuff and not knowing where the pressure is coming from. And we don't adjust. We do not adjust on offense whatsoever. That's another beef I have with head coach Matt Rhule. It just doesn't feel like when we come out in the third quarter that we're doing anything differently, or when a team figures us out, we don't change what we're doing. We just kind of keep plugging away. And that's how you get a game that's 17-8 at the half, end up being 31-14 by the end of it, where teams, it feels like this has been the same way the past 5 weeks, where teams just kind of slowly pull away in the third and fourth quarter, and there's nothing we can do about it. And at the end, you look at the score, and it looks much worse than it was. But it's been going on and on.
I think part of that, I mean, yes, part of it is coaching, part of it's adjustments. I'm not going to stray away from that, because even though I've stood here on this podcast every single week and have told people to not get you know, impatient with Matt Rhule. There is stuff that I do think he needs to do, like play Brady Christensen, play Deontay Brown. But even with the coaching, you know, I think there is some things that he needs to do to change his game plan up, make adjustments as the game goes. But also, you got to keep in mind, too, look at the roster. Like,
yeah,
it's in a dark, dark place. I mean, I wouldn't say a dark, dark place, but I mean, they're in a situation where they don't have their best offensive player. They had DJ Moore banged up. They have a really just shoddy offensive line right now that they knew was going to be the issue. But what else should we expect? As I said earlier in the show, like what else should we expect at this point? Like,
yeah,
they're not going to make adjustments, because even if you make adjustments, they're not going to show, because they don't have the right horses to make those adjustments. You're going to have to see some changes in the offseason. And let's be frank, if the Panthers draft a quarterback, Matt Rhule will be fired in 2022. I'm telling you, because none of those guys in this draft are going to be good enough to get the issue solved.
Yeah, number two, it's not going to fix this. Like, no, you
know. and number two, if you don't spend that first round pick on a freaking left tackle,
oh gosh, yes,
you have got to be gone. Like, and people can say, oh, well, I don't want to have Sam Darnold. I'm telling you right now, I would rather have Sam Darnold out there and pay him his $18 million and let him play on that $18 million behind a first-round pick at left tackle.
And maybe McCaffrey back, healthy.
And have McCaffrey back, then to potentially trade away Darnold and eat $15, $16 million of his contract, or sit him on the bench for $18 million, bring somebody else in, whether it be Kenny Pickett or whatever, and have the same issues at offensive line. I would much rather have Darnold at quarterback. Even though I don't think anyone does, but I'd rather have him.
I mean, with those being my choices, then yes, I would rather. Because do you think that there's a possibility they invite Cam Newton back for a year next year on a team friendly deal, like, you know, like $2 million or something silly?
This is my thought on it. If they believe that they can bring in another veteran quarterback, be Deshaun Watson, be it Jimmy Garoppolo, anybody of that nature that they feel like can come in and actually fix their issues right away, no, he will not come back, I don't think. But if they think their options are going to be limited to either the draft or keeping Sam Darnold, I do think they'll try and bring back Cam, only if, again, like as we talked about, we don't know who wanted Cam back, if Matt Rhule wants him back. So That's the biggest player of it. Oh, but the thing is, even if Cam does come back, I truly do not think he will be the starting quarterback for the entire season. If he comes back, it's to groom that draft pick that they decide to spend on a quarterback. And then once he's ready to go, they'll play him. Or he'll come back and let's face it, you're paying Sam Darnold $18 million. He's going to be the starting quarterback if he's still here. Cam may be the backup or a guy that they bring in certain packages, which may, at this point in his career, may not be a bad idea, because, I mean, Sam or Cam, he's just not a starting quarterback anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I laughed in hindsight, and we said it earlier, hindsight's 2020. I almost feel like they probably should have stuck with the way they played versus Arizona. Let PJ run the up and down. You
did that week, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have just kept it like that and kept Cam fresh, kept him short yardage, goal line, red zone offense, like implement some sort of red zone offensive package for Cam. Like, understand what's in front of you. You brought him in like week 10 or whatever. There's no way he's going to learn this playbook completely by in enough time to help us win games by himself. So yeah, we already tried this whole ease him in thing. Fans go nuts for it. He scored two touchdowns, throws a touchdown, runs for a touchdown. If they had continued to do that, you kind of, A, you protect Cam Newton's legacy with the fan base, because you're not exposing him as this older 32-year-old guy that just can't get it done anymore by himself. You're actually getting reps for PJ Walker, because he's not under contract next year either, and you need to decide what to do with him, because you're not going to get it this way with him sitting back watching Cam Newton play with a four-page playbook. You know what I mean? Like, so you're kind of screwing yourself by doing it this way. And you kind of would give an element of surprise against defenses in the league. They wouldn't know what to really do because they don't. There's hardly any film on PJ Walker whatsoever. You can still run RPO and that kind of stuff. Actually, I think Walker would be suited best in that type of offense. And then you bring in Cam to get those fourth and ones, to get that first and goal from the 8 yard line. You bring him in as like this weapon. And instead of him being the quarterback, he's just this like athlete, like go old school high school listings when a kid's playing like four positions or whatever. And they just call him, he's just athlete. That's what they should have had him as. And I think now, actually, to be honest, I don't think they can pull that back now because now can't, I mean, this Sunday Cam played the whole game. PJ didn't get in at all. So I don't even know if they could even go back to that now. Is that something that would be beneficial to the team if they decided to do that? Or maybe they do that with Sam and Cam. Maybe Sam comes back and he's doing this and Cam comes in for goal line situations or red zone offense or whatever, because Sam was having issues with them in the red zone like Teddy was last year. Is that something you would like to see? Or is this just too much of a mess for them to come out looking okay by the time the season is over?
I mean, even though they're 5-9, I mean, at this point, the fan base is focused on, how can we get a higher draft pick? But the coaching staff, the players, they don't give a rat's, you know what, about the game. They want to win the games. I believe we had this conversation last year when you're like, do you try and get a better draft pick or do you win games? No, the mindset should always be win games. The draft, does one or two spots in the draft really make that much of a difference? Maybe, I don't know, but I think when you're 5-9, you're going to do what is going to give you the best chance to win. I don't think that PJ Walker starting against Tom Brady twice. I just don't think that's going to make sense. Now,
I mean, none of it makes sense. None of it makes any sense. We're like, we're in bizarro world right now. Like, do whatever that can stick to the wall. Maybe something works. Because this isn't working. You can't throw Cam Newton out there.
No, you can't.
Defense twice.
I will say, if Sam does come back and is able to play, people are going to have a fit if he does play. But, and especially if he becomes the starter and Cam's the backup. But people need to get this in their heads. Again, as you said, if that was the case where Tepper just kind of dumped Newton onto Rule, and he didn't want that, well, he's going to do what he wants to do. He's the coach. Like, during this situation, like, he doesn't have his starting quarterback. So, yeah, he's going to play Cam because he's better than PJ. But, I mean, let's be honest, Sam Darnold has a better arm than Cam Newton right now.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no one disputing it. If anyone has an argument about that, then you're just a true Cam loyalist that has, like,
yeah,
and they can't admit to the facts. But Sam Darnold has a better arm. Does he make better decisions? That's a great area. But what I'm saying is he's owed $18 million next year. You have to figure out what you've got in him, even though what we know already is not very much. But there may be something that clicked for him in this time off, and he goes out and plays well. And like I said, you could use it as trade value, or you could use it to have him start next year.
Has he been like on the sidelines?
I don't know if he's been. I haven't seen him at the games. I don't know if he's. I know he can't travel with the team on the road games. I don't know if he's allowed to be there for home games or not. But if he plays well enough, then maybe you can draft a left tackle in the first round, start Sam Darnold, and maybe that second or that third round quarterback is still there.
I mean, there's some options there, and I agree with you to an extent where I don't want to just give up on Sam because of how he got here and knowing what's in front of him. I know that played a role in his play. However, some of the plays he had, it was just on Sam. But I do have to think that he was probably hearing footsteps at that point, or ghost, as Sam would say.
and the thing with the Rule, like as you mentioned, like, can you really blame Matt Rule, though? Like, honestly, if you never wanted Cam Newton, and then all of a sudden David Tepper goes out and calls Cam Newton, calls him up and says, hey, would you want to come back? And then Tepper calls you and says, hey, we got Cam back.
Mm-hmm.
He just throws him on to Cam. If that was the case, I mean, can you really be mad at Matt Rhule for being upset with the situation? And if Cam goes out there and plays bad and it's not what he wants, like.
Well, I can, because he's putting him in bad situations. Like, as the head coach of the team, he had to recognize at that point, okay, this is my situation. Darnold may or may not even return. PJ Walker can't lead us for the next 8 games or whatever. I got to adjust. We got to adjust what we do.
I guess I'm speaking more so from the post-game stuff. Like, the on-the-field stuff, yeah. At that point, if he's your quarterback, he's your quarterback. You have to make it work. In the post-game stuff, I guess when people take out Rhule's comments as it being, you know, directed towards Cam, I mean, if that was the case, yeah, I'm sure he is pissed. Like, he doesn't want him to be the guy.
Makes sense. I mean,
it kind of makes sense. It aligns. If someone's there that you don't want to be there, then yeah, I'd probably have some remarks too. But
especially if the owner dropped him in your lap, you can't necessarily say Cam is screwing all this up, because then you're saying Tepper is screwing all this up, and right. You can't really do that either. So it's like he's playing a dangerous tightrope game. Yeah. Now I will say this before we get out of here. Based on what Rhule was saying Sunday and Monday when people were asking him about Darnold's condition, because he did return to practice last week, if I'm not mistaken, he's not fully going yet. They're going to decide that this week. I'm starting to feel like Darnold's going to play on Sunday. And not only play, I'm starting to feel like he's going to start on Sunday. Because Rhule has not ruled it out. And that's been his track record the 2 years he's been here. Whenever something like that happens, when someone asks him a point-blank question, he doesn't really give you a point-blank response, like you were saying earlier. It feels like it's already been rolling around in his head to give Sam the start if he can practice this week and bring Cam in for, like we were just saying, goal line, red zone, short yardage, that kind of thing. So it's much better to have Sam and Cam as a dual quarterback, whatever, than Cam and PJ. Like, that's a distinct drop in level of ceiling to me. Yeah. But you saw that you could make that work with someone, you know, driving the car up and down the field and having Cam park it, you know, like that can work. And it's not too late for them to go ahead and do that. And for Cam, if he's truly sitting here saying, you know, whatever it takes to win, I'm down for whatever, he should have zero issue with doing that coming into the situation. He knew what it was going to be. So,
and let's be honest. I mean, when Sam was playing and when he didn't turn the ball over, I mean, it's not like the offense wasn't moving the ball. Like, they were moving the ball, they just kept stalling out.
Yeah,
at least from what I remember. Now, I might go back on games and be like, wow, that was a terrible take, but
no, I remember.
I think he was moving the ball, and then there was a couple bad decisions that happened. The drive stalled out, or he turned the ball over. Maybe that is what you do. You let Sam march it down the field, and then if you get inside to a certain spot where you think Cam can punch it in, that's what you do. But I don't know if he's going to start this week, because I do think last week when he talked about it at one point in time during the week, I can't remember which day it was, maybe an earlier in the week, it seemed like he said something about, like, it's a little further down the road, as in, like, towards the end of December. So yeah. I think that this week's probably a bit of a stretch to see him play, even start. So I think Cam's going to get the start. I do think he'll play. If anyone else plays, I think it'd be PJ. I think it'd be more so next week against New Orleans is where that could come into play.
That's a softer spot to land in for Sam, yeah, too. I would imagine playing against a Saints team that's been having quarterback issues themselves this year. They're basically playing a fullback, a quarterback, and Taysom Hill.
don't even get me started on Taysom Hill. I'll say that for next week.
So it could be much worse, Panther fans. At least we've got something to still talk about here.
You could be the New York Giants with Jake Fromm and Mike Glennon.
Yes, that I have a friend that's a Giants fan, and I just I feel so bad for him. Like, I thought we had it bad as Panther fans. I mean, at least we got some things to cheer for throughout the course of the year. Hey, Cam came back home. Hey, CMC's playing. Oh, CMC's not playing. Oh, CMC's playing. Oh, he's hurt again.
I mean, just look at some of these other teams around the league, though. Like, there's some of these teams that just have no hope. Like, I mean, they don't have any building pieces on the offense or defensive side of the ball. The Panthers, like, you have certain pieces. You're just a couple of missing links away and maybe some depth pieces away from being competitive. Like, yeah. I think you just got to reel it back and understand, yes, they took some steps forward this year, but they also took some steps back. It's an up and down year, year two. That's what Matt Rhule has done historically throughout his career. We'll see. Year three is typically when he turns around. I know the NFL is different, but I think you have to give him at least a chance to go to year three. And if he struggles again, then you know what? I'm 100% on board with firing.
I'm up to like first 4 weeks of 2022. Like if the Panthers are like 1-3 or something like that.
Depending on what they do at quarterback, because I think if their plan is to bring in a rookie, then I think you kind of have to give them a little bit more than 4 weeks. But if you bring Sam back or you go get Deshaun or any of those other guys and it's 1-3, 2-4 start, then yeah.
Carolina Panthers today, you can follow Skyler on Twitter at Callahan _. You can follow on Twitter at DEZDez_3505 or at Tobacco Radio. Definitely follow Skyler throughout the week for Sports Illustrated articles on the Panthers, in-depth coverage there throughout the week. And you can listen to previous episodes of the Believe in Panther podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Keep pounding.